101 FM, and of course, for over 50 years, we're at 1080 on your AM dial. Today's the big day. Yeah, today's the big day. Winter Walk in Northfield, the 20th annual Winter Walk. And if you don't know what that means that when you come downtown Northfield, you'll see all the beautiful holiday lights or Christmas lights, and you'll also find all kinds of stores open, serving coffee and cider and food and beer and whatever you want downtown Northfield. And bring the kids, because Santa's going to be in town, and Rudolph's going to be in town, and the snowmen are going to be in town, and the city of Northfield did a beautiful job of decorating Bridge Square. You'll want to see that. And of course, I noticed that this year the library has beautiful lighting, and you're just going to enjoy it. And Lynn Ziegler of Ziggy's has put together a parade. There's going to be a parade during Winter Walk here in your town. KYMN Radio is so proud of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and contentment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a gentleman in studio that I've been looking forward to talk to. He is the sheriff of Le Sueur County, and his name is Brett Mason. And Brett and I met at Le Sueur at a parade over there when the Rice County Sheriff's Department came over with the motorcycle parade. And you guys were on horseback and waiting for the parade to start. We got together and chit-chatted and all that. And we're going to get to a situation that I was trying to explain to you, but you never know when the parade's going to start, so you couldn't be in depth. But there's going to be a connection between you and I.
Very good, Wayne.
And it's going
to
be
excited to hear what it is.
Okay, and of course you're the sheriff, and there's a connection. And well, listeners, I suppose you wonder, did I get arrested or anything in Le Sueur County? And the answer is later on. Right now, I want to ask how things are in Le Sueur County as far as the elections went on November 7th, I think it was. How did things go? Were you up for re-election?
Things went great, Wayne. Yes, I had opposition, and fortunately, we were victorious. And so things are moving forward just like I hope they would, and we're excited for that. And another 4 years to go here. So we had a long road through the election process and the campaign, and I can't thank my committee enough, and my family and my wife, and we worked very hard at it, and I think the outcome came out all right.
Well, Troy Dunn, yep, the Rice County Sheriff, did not have any opposition.
Correct.
And sometimes the sheriff election, particularly in Ramsey County and Hennepin County, can be very vicious. And sometimes an individual is the boss and they have somebody run against them. And then the guy wins that went against the sheriff. Now the sheriff is out. But if the sheriff wins, this guy is still an employee, a deputy, and you wonder what happened. I know in Tomah, Wisconsin, my first time broadcasting career, I was originally from St. Paul, and when I met a daughter of the sheriff in St. Paul back in the late 50s, early 60s, I mean, it was like, wow, she's a daughter. I mean, I had a lot of awe. And when I got to Tomah, when the election went, the winner came in and wiped out the entire deputy staff and brought in his own people.
Sure.
And I thought, well, gee whiz, here's does that happen in Minnesota?
Yes, absolutely it does. And you know, we have 87 counties in Minnesota, and some of our bigger counties like Hennepin County and Ramsey County, for example, absolutely, that's accurate, Wayne. As a matter of fact, yesterday in the Pioneer Press, they had an article in there about Sheriff-elect Fletcher, who had just beat Jack Sarrier. But the article consisted of him bringing in his command staff. And there was a number of names and individuals identified and what their resumes entailed. And that was indeed an article yesterday in the Pioneer Press. So that is accurate. In, you know, some of the smaller counties, you know, all the counties we deal with unions. So, but it's mainly those non-union positions, those command staffs, the chief deputies, the jail administrators, your undersheriffs, Those non-union positions are usually the ones that are appointed, and when a new sheriff comes in, after he or she is elected, they have the opportunity to bring in what staff they see fit.
And, of course, in my era, you would just say he. That's pretty how things have changed. What happens to those individuals? They're government employees, and I imagine they're PERA, and then the new sheriff comes in and says, you're out of here. Do they get any kind of compensation, or do they go into a different part of the government?
Yeah, you know, each jurisdiction has a somewhat of a severance package based on their personnel policies, et cetera, but there's also state statute that allows some of these appointed positions, as well as a sheriff, for example, to take a leave of absence from their previous job. And, you know, as far as a sheriff goes, I believe it's a 10-year mark, and they can take a leave of absence. So, for example, let's say that, to make things simple, I'm a Northfield officer, and I run for Rice County Sheriff, and I get elected. I believe I can take a 10-year leave of absence in case something were to happen down the road, and then I can go back to that union position.
Okay. Now, Fletcher, this is his second time around?
From what I understand, I believe Sheriff Fletcher had either four terms in, and then had a 8-year hiatus maybe, and then is back in.
So he's got to be a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, I don't personally know Bob. My family knows Sheriff Lex Fletcher pretty well, but or knows of him, but I don't know him, and okay. I don't know but I'm sure I'll meet him soon at a conference or something.
Now, in your position, do you get the high five when it comes to retirement?
Yeah, I'm police and fire. Sheriffs are police and fire, so. At the end of your career, they'll average out that high five of your top high earning years.
Okay, now when you say you're a police and fire sheriff, what does that mean? You're in charge of the county sheriff's department and the fire department.
No, the police and fire is just the pension program within the state of Minnesota. It's the government. It's the pension. There's PERA.
Yeah.
There's a police and fire package. There's a coordinated package. There's a correction package, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have we had a fireman on and a rescue squad guy just before you came on the air promoting their spaghetti dinner that raises money for helping kids eat and enjoy the holidays. By raising money there, do you have a program that you utilize in LeSueur County in regards to helping the needy?
In terms of fire departments or just with the sheriff's office?
All of it,
absolutely. I mean, we have two what I think are big time nonprofits, and one is LeSueur County Sheriff's Mounted Posse. They are in the beck and call of the sheriff, and they are kind of fastened to the sheriff's office. However, they're also an organization that raises funds for the community of LeSueur County. We also have, which I'm a huge part of and I'm the chairman of, and we started approximately 7 years ago, as the Sheriff's Youth Project of LeSueur County. And we are a 501c3, and I'm glad you asked that, because we're pretty proud of what we've done in the last 6 to 7 years. And we just had a board meeting last week and gave approximately $60,000 back out to the community. And we're at almost about 350,000 distributing out back out to the community. And we got a couple big fundraisers that we do, one in July and one in October, and we raise funds for this organization, and we're pretty proud of it.
LeSueur County, for folks that aren't familiar with the size and what communities lie in LeSueur County, what are some of the towns in LeSueur County?
Well, we have 10 cities, I believe. So our county seat is Lee Center. Obviously, our northwest part is LeSueur. Go back through the middle, Heidelberg, the city of New Prague, the city of Montgomery, the city of Kilkenny, the city of Waterville, the city of Elysian, the city of Cleveland, the city of Kasota. And who am I forgetting here?
Is Henderson in there?
No, Henderson's in Sibley County, but they're at the same school district.
Okay.
And then we have obviously a number of townships as well.
Well, I think I've been to all of those. And did you say Cleveland?
Cleveland.
That's almost to Mankato.
Well, not too far, but it's about 6 miles west of Lee Center. Okay. So,
I went to the parade in Henderson, and I don't know. Do you get invited? Are there cross invitations?
There are, but we didn't make the Henderson parade this year.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but there was a lot of rain. A lot of rain on parade day. And so I took off on my motorcycle, and I went to Henderson. And when I got to the road into Henderson, it was blocked off, and the river had risen, and it was raining like crazy. And I had to find another way to get into Henderson.
Sure.
And I went around in circles, and I finally found a road. I asked somebody for directions after I got into
Le Sueur, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Okay. And they said, well, you do this. And so I did it. Well, I was just backtracking. And so I went back into the town, and I found a back road to come in on the back side of it. I guess that would be the west side of it or south side of it.
Southwest, yeah. And that can be tough on that river bottom there. When it starts flooding and it's wet, boy, yeah. It shuts down pretty quick, and it creates a lot of havoc in that community.
Well, I did get there, and the water was up to the road. And I did get there, and I found a parade director, and they said, well, your unit number 36, are the other fellows coming? And I said, I don't know. Unit 36 was one unit, and that was me. And I thought, well, okay, I might as well have fun with this. And you know how sometimes the Shriners, for example, will kind of hold up the parade doing their little motorcycle or little car tricks?
Well, I don't know about holding them up. We got a few Shriners in Lee Sueur County, but I understand what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I thought since I'm the lone guy from Rice County, I can have a little fun. So I did all that stuff, but I didn't hold any book, just me. And
well, that's dedication for Rice County and Sheriff Dunn as well, to be the only one there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do that. And now, if you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, Brett Mason is my guest from Le Sueur County. He is the sheriff. I really love what you're wearing right now. I have never seen that. I've seen a lot of uniforms for deputies and for the sheriff. Why don't you describe what you have on? I mean, it
well,
really
pretty,
is cool.
Pretty flattering, Wayne. No, I have a Class A uniform, but I have a sweater on over it. So essentially, it's just a uniform sweater and with the tie. And, you know, Lee Sueur County, we strive to be as, you know, professional as we can. And my staff tries to look good in their uniforms as well. So got to set precedence, right, Wayne?
It really looks good. It's a brown V-neck ribbed sweater with a beautiful patch on the sleeve, sewn on the sleeve. You have a very intricate badge. I haven't seen one like that for a while. American flag. Then you have your name tag with a little something on there. What is a little?
That's a state insignia.
Okay.
State of Minnesota insignia.
Okay. And then what's on your right sleeve?
No, the same patch as on my left.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me about your badge. People collect badges, and badges are something you see on television. You know, they flip it open and do this and do that. And when you see a badge on somebody, I think the general population just all of a sudden has this respect and, you know, like, hey, here's the lawman. That badge has I have a hard time sometimes describing something.
Yeah, it's a typical 5-star badge, Wayne, and that's what we do here at in the state of Minnesota, and especially Lee Sueur County Sheriff's Office, as well as Rice County is the same. And this badge is a little bit different. I got a couple different badges, but this kind of has a gold frame, and then with a silver kind of inlet part of it, and it does have a ribbon over it, but does put my name, and at the bottom it has my badge number as well. So it
and what's your badge number?
901.
901. And how did you? Is that significant? The 01 part?
Well, yeah, we go by, you know, back in the day, our dispatch was always 900. That was our call sign, and all the deputies went from 901 was a sheriff, 902 was a chief deputy, 903, 904, so on and so forth. And then you got to double digits, and you got into some of the municipalities. Now that's since changed. 900 is still the is still dispatch, and our 900 cars are at the sheriff's office. But for example, 300 cars would be the city of Lee Sewer. 400 cars would be, you know, so 401 would be the chief of police in Lee Center. 301 okay. would be the chief of Lee Sewer. And of course, I'm 901, which would be the sheriff of Lee Sewer no. County. But that's been going on for before my time, at least as far as I know, since 1950. So we've kept that going.
Well, what happens to the 10th guy after you?
The 10th guy?
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
I mean, he's 9-11?
Not 9-11. No, oh, okay. no. We skip 9-1-1 and we go right to 9-12.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's one of our sergeants.
All right. Le Sueur County Sheriff Brett Mason is my guest here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And Brett, I'm going to tell you about a place called the QB, the Quarterback Club here in Northfield. And it's been here for 50 years, almost 51. And got here just before KYMN Radio got here, started by the Minnesota Vikings as a franchise, and, of course, came to be locally owned just a year or so after they opened. And today they have a special, and if you happen to like fish, they have delicious fish there. But their breakfast is going on until 10 o'clock this morning, giving you approximately 38 minutes to get there. And if you're ever in a hurry to have a breakfast, that's the place to go, the Quarterback Club. You walk in, walk up, order your meal. By the time you take your coat off and sit down, bam, it's there. And I'm talking bacon and eggs any way you want them, and pancakes and waffles and French toast and anything you want for breakfast. But don't forget their delicious roasted chicken. It is fantastic. We are on the air live and in color with a gentleman by the name of Brett Mason. He is from Le Sueur County, and he is the sheriff of Le Sueur County. And let's talk a little bit about things that concern your department in regards to crime. It's in the forefront. Drugs are horrible. People are dying and killing themselves, overdosing. Now, is Montgomery's in your bailiwick, right?
That's correct, Wayne.
And when I was a young man, 18, 19, I used to go to Kalachi Days, and I was from St. Paul, and Montgomery was a little teeny town. And we loved the parade there. They had some great bands. And, of course, back then you could, the beer cans were not made out of aluminum. They were made out of steel. And if you followed the last band, which usually was the Peter's Meats Band, that from St. Paul, and it was a black band, and they were so good, you would follow them and enjoy the rhythm and the beat and kick the beer cans down the street. I just threw that in. But so my first impression, it's a little town. What can go wrong there? What is it, the Le Sueur County, with all those 10 or 11 cities you mentioned, how is the crime rate comparative to the other counties in the state?
Well, it's pretty relative, I think, Wayne. And you know, you prefaced in this a little bit about, starting with drugs and addiction and overdoses, and obviously opioids comes into play. And back in April of 2017, Le Sueur County took a big step in joining the Rice County Drug Task Force, the Cannon River Violent Offender Task Force.
The one that made that huge bust?
That's correct. Just a couple months ago, 171 pounds of methamphetamine worth approximately $7.5 million. So we are really proud of those guys, and they're working their tails off, and they continue to do that. But with that being said, We joined that in April 2017, and we couldn't be more pleased. But methamphetamine is king in Le Sueur County, and it's big in Rice County as well. Up in this neck of the woods, you do have an opioid issue, as do we. Not as much so. Like I said, methamphetamine is king, but you reference controlled substance drugs, and that is. A big part of what goes on in Le Sueur County. If you look at our jail roster right now, probably 80 to 90% of those names on there are somewhat affiliated with drugs. It may not be a drug charge.
What kind of roster?
Our jail roster. So we have a public jail roster, as do many other counties.
Okay.
So you can go on Le Sueur County Sheriff's Office website, and we have a public jail roster, and it shows the pictures and names and what the crimes they're being charged with. But, you know, it's not only, it's a trickle-down effect because a lot of these people are in there for burglary and theft. Well, why are they committing these burglaries and thefts? Because of their addictions, correct? So they're stealing this stuff, they're selling it to feed their habit. And it's a huge part of what goes on. I mean, we're getting burglaries, we're getting thefts, we're getting, you name it. Now the fish houses are getting broke into, but controlled substance drugs are a huge part of Lee Seward County. We have a number of other things that we investigate with, you know, criminal sexual conduct crimes and, you know, obviously our domestic assaults and our financial exploitation. And we have a big part of our investigative team investigates adult protection with vulnerable adults as well as child protection. And that is a big part of our time as well. So
what is the lake that these ice houses are on?
Almost all of them.
Are there a lot of lakes in Lee Seward?
There are a lot of lakes in Lee Seward County. Our southern part of our county is filled with lakes, and it's kind of a hidden gem. In my opinion, we have some of the best lakes in the state of Minnesota, you know, all the way from Lake Washington to East Jeff and Big Jeff and Little Jefferson and Lake Francis, which was one of my favorite lakes, and German Lake and Sakata and Tatanka, and it's all right in a row and all kind of part of our southern half of our region, but they're very nice lakes. And
are they good fishing?
Good fishing and good recreation and you name it.
Well, you know, the Minnesota Department of Tourism are always looking for an area where they can have the governor's fishing opener. Mm-hmm. And next year, it's going to be in Albert Lee.
Sure.
Which I don't think is known for its great fishing.
Sure.
And one year they had it at White Bear, and which was really convenient, but that poor lake was disappearing at the time, so they started putting, they usually had a trophy for a catch and release for northerns and walleyes, but they threw in panfish in White Bear Lake because they didn't have that.
Yeah.
The lake was leaking. Has anybody from a Chamber of Commerce in Lee Seward County ever lobbied the tourism department with all those lakes?
I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the city of Waterville or the chamber in Waterville has applied a couple different times and have not got it yet, but I think they're still trying. So it would be wonderful if we could host that somewhere in Lee Seward County. I would be I'd be an advocate for that.
Well, if you need any help, let me know.
Appreciate that.
The head of the Department of Tourism has been in your seat at least 3-4 times.
Sure.
Real nice gentleman. And when he said Waterville, right?
Yeah,
Waterville. And what's the first thought that comes to my head?
Bullhead days?
Yeah. Bullheads.
It's a good event.
It's a great fish for kids. And the first time you learn that they have those little stingers. And I imagine you did that too. Oh, I caught a bullhead, and you didn't know how to unhook it.
Yeah, I got to do a lot of bullhead fishing when I was a kid. And if anybody's itching for a bullhead, that first weekend in June, you come down to Waterville and Lee Seward County, come to Bullhead Days, and not only get a basket of bullheads, but you'll get a cold beer or something with it as well, and a good time.
When I first came to Northfield, I was on the road representing the station for sales, and I ended up working with it was College City distributor, and I rode in a truck with him, and he was stopping at, this is, you know, 45 years ago or more, and stopped at every resort to drop off beer. I was totally unaware of the lakes in Rice County.
Sure.
And I'm, holy cow, this is amazing. And I met people at these resorts that came up north to go fishing in Faribault.
Right.
I mean, out of Iowa and Missouri, I'm going, they came up north to Faribault?
I'm familiar with the west side, you know, west of 35, Faribault there. They got a number of lakes there with Clear and Roberts and
French,
and they got a number of good lakes there. I'm familiar with those, not so much on the east.
Mazeppa.
Mazeppa.
And what is it?
Shieldsville.
Yeah, Shieldsville. Yeah. They used to have a big deal. The guys had a big monster come out of the lake in Shieldsville, and the guys from Northfield Fire Department and Northfield Foundry built this dragon that would come out of the water and blow off smoke, and they had an ice fishing contest and a big fun time, and Lake Mazaska was a monster. Lake Mazaska monster. It was a fun time. 929 on 1080 Radio. Hey, I'm having fun talking to the sheriff of the Seward County. His name is Brett Mason. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, director at the Vital Link Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Our program is for adults requiring care during the day and includes nutritious home-cooked meals, stimulating group activities, as well as outings to local attractions. Vital Link provides support to caregivers during the day. Transportation is available. Please call me at 664-8865 to schedule a tour or find out more at threelinks.org.
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Brett Mason. And Brett, you just did something that a lot of my guests do, but I totally comprehend why you do it. You were just checking your phone.
Yeah.
Whoop, I should turn your mic on. There we go.
Yeah, those, unfortunately, sometimes those phones are can wreak havoc on things that you do, but in my position, I need to have it. We have a lot of things going on in the county, and obviously 24/7 if I need to be reached. But I'm very diligent about checking in on my phone. We're so email conscious now, and there are just so many things going on each and every day that, you know, and I'm a type of person that wanted to get back to people. So I like to check to see what's going on and to make sure everything in my county is doing okay. So
I would assume most of your arrests are by your officers, and they have to go to court and testify. Do sheriffs hold that responsibility too? Do you have to spend a lot of time in court testifying?
Well, I wouldn't say a lot of time. As a sheriff and you're the chief law enforcement officer, you're more of a you're a manager, you're an administrator. So as far as the arrests and getting your fingers in with some of what's going on and collecting evidence and doing interviews, we don't do so much of that anymore. But yes, from time to time, absolutely, Wayne. There are times where a sheriff or some of that administration has to go in and testify. That is accurate.
Have you had any high profile situations, cases in the last, since you've been sheriff? What's the highest one?
Well, since I've been sheriff, I don't believe we've had any homicides, which thankfully, we feel fortunate of that. But in the last, as far as me being chief deputy, we've had a couple homicides, we've had some drownings, we've had a number of fatality crashes. Seward County seems to have a high number every year because of our county roads are curvy and there's just a lot of factors that play into it. But fortunately in the last couple of years, we haven't had any too high profile crimes that have been committed. You know, they're in a lot of people, you know, some of these criminal sexual conducts that occur, and you know, it's how you define high profile. But as far as the media goes and any type of homicides, no. But when I was chief deputy, we certainly had a couple.
When you were chief deputy, when you were investigating a murder, would it generally have been a domestic type murder or?
The last two have been in Lee Seward County. They have all been domestic in nature, and those do happen. And fortunately, our investigative team was right there, and we also had assistance from the BCA, which is a Borough Criminal Apprehension. But both of those homicides were domestic related.
How about murder by an outsider? In a robbery or just a hitchhiker or whatever?
We haven't had any of those for a while. We have had them in Lee Seward County through the years, and I'm very familiar with the cases that we have had. We have at least one to two open cases right now from the 80s we still continue to look at and dig up. But
are we talking cold file cases?
No, not so much a cold file, but we do have a Wonder Brothers case. It was a set of brothers that were murdered in their home in the early 80s, just east of Lee Center. And that is a case that we look into. We do have did get one conviction on it, but we still certainly look into it yearly and annually, and continue to take tips if need be.
Okay, and of course, everybody knows about DNA, mm-hmm. and when you think about the O.J. Simpson case, and he got away with murder. DNA yep. proved it. But they were able to confuse the jury, or the jury was prejudiced, whatever. But how important is DNA to your department?
DNA is very important at this point in time, Wayne. You couldn't hit the nail on the head any harder. It is, I think a lot of people don't realize, our deputies, our investigators are trained. We're constantly swabbing things. You know, we have equipment, and we have policy and procedure and how we go to crime scenes, of course, but DNA is huge. It's come a long way. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is doing a fantastic job in their forensic lab of analyzing it. And
St. Paul.
Yeah, and we are getting hits all the time. And, you know, we just solved a rash of burglaries down in our Legion area from DNA.
Really?
Yeah.
That had to be kind of a surprise for the thief.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, all these felonies, these felons, you know, that get convicted, they're data goes in a convicted offender database, and mm-hmm. and when these swabs or these profiles get sent in, sometimes you cross your fingers that there's a hit, and sometimes there is, and sometimes there isn't.
You know, once again, Brett Mason is my guest. He's sheriff of the Seward County. There are a couple of, prosecutors in a couple of counties that like to be high profile, and all the work is done here, then that individual, the county attorney or DA, I guess you would say.
County attorney.
Yeah, they do the press release, like Dakota County and Freeman up in Hennepin County. All the work's done here, but then this person comes out and kind of gets all the glory. What's that like in a smaller sheriff's department? Do you like to give credit to the individuals that solved the case, or is that a responsibility for your position to be the speaker to the public?
Well, we have over 50 employees now just with the sheriff's office, but Lee Seward County, you know, we're a 474 square mile county. We're a unique demographic, a unique geographically located area between two major highways, just north of Mankato, just south of the cities. But getting back to your question, Wayne, is that we have a great relationship with our county attorney's office. We have a county attorney and four or five assistant county attorneys, and our investigative team and our deputies, we do have specific public information officers. And in my county, it's either myself or the chief deputy, and or someone that I might designate would maybe be an investigative sergeant, but because we can't have everybody talking to the media, but we try to give credit where credit's due. And at the Lee Seward County Sheriff's Office, we're a team all the way from starting with our dispatch when that call is taken. They're one of the most important aspects of a sheriff's office, and your correction officers that are taking these arrestees in, as well as your deputies that are going to these scenes, your investigators that are investigating them, and obviously your administration. But we try to give credit where credit's due. But I would agree that sometimes the investigators that are actually investigating the case and do their job to get the conviction, same as maybe the assistant county attorney that prosecutes it and gets a conviction, their names aren't mentioned, whereas maybe that should be, but a lot of times they don't want to be mentioned at all. They come to work, they do their job, their name is part of that criminal complaint, and we'll tell the media, whoever's asking those questions, what those facts are in the criminal complaint, and try to answer those questions.
I have so many questions. Have you ever been frustrated because DA's office says get more information?
Absolutely. And we continually have these conversations with our county attorney. Like I said, Wayne, we have a great relationship, so I can call my county attorney up at any time, and he can call me up, and we can have a good conversation, as well as my investigative staff, my deputies, and the assistant county attorneys. But yeah, we do have those discussions where there may be times where we think we have enough, there's more than enough probable cause for a case, and the prosecutor thinks, no, I think we need to do this, this, and this, and this, and we will have those conversations. But like I said, at the end of the day, we will come to an agreement, and we will do what's needed because we are not the ones prosecuting the case. We are there to gather the evidence, gather the facts, provide those facts to the attorney, to our counselor, and then they can, and they, you know, they do their jobs in presenting that to try to get a conviction. So if they want it, we're gonna do the best we can to get it for them.
Okay, but along in your career or anybody's career, there most obviously are points where, like, man, I got this thing taken care of, but they won't grab it and run it through court because of this or that. But
I don't care.
You know the guy's guilty, and they won't arrest him.
If it's Lee Seward County or Rice County or Hennepin County, or if it's L.A. County, or we're talking the city of New York, you're going to have those conversations. Yeah. It just is what it is. It's part of it.
You know, I'm going to go back to you talking about the opioid
epidemic.
Epidemic. Yeah. How do you tell that somebody's on crack or methamphetamines or pot or cocaine or heroin? How do you... If there's nothing in the car and you only can observe the individual, what are some telltale signs?
So are you asking, for potentially, hypothetically speaking, Wayne, on a traffic stop?
Sure.
Well, there'll be telltales. You know, you'll have the eyes, the dilation. You'll have a number of different ways. But, you know, our deputies and the officers are trained to be trained observers, right? And what's normal and what's not normal. And if in a traffic stop, you just need articulable suspicion. And, you know, if you know, we're not making traffic stops and ultimately searching vehicles right away. We don't do that. We don't violate people's rights. We talk to the people. But if there's something wrong, and there's something obviously wrong, we document that, you know, and we have squad cameras now. We have audio that we do not have body cameras as of now, at least for county. But, you know, if something seems off, our deputies are trained in recognizing that, and at that time, you know, they'll ask certain questions, and if the answers they're looking for are not accurate or they don't seem right, then obviously there's something wrong. But you also can see the demeanor once they get out of the car, if you know, they're staggering or stumbling or they're fidgety, or they're just, you know, a lot of people when they get pulled over are fidgety. Everybody's nervous, right? And it's just part of it. But when they're on a certain controlled substance, there are certain signs that officers are trained to tell, and they can observe that, and then they move on through their investigation.
If it's an opinion of an officer that somebody is high on marijuana, let's say, can you tell right at the stop, or do you get a hair follicle or blood test, or
no,
how do you know that?
You would run that person through a set of field sobriety tests.
Okay.
And if they fail the field sobriety tests, and you have reason to believe or probable cause that they're under the influence of something, and you don't believe it's alcohol, then if they fail those field sobriety tests, there's probable cause to make an arrest, and that deputy or officer will then either get a search warrant to do a blood draw or a urine draw or a urine sample, mm-hmm. and then they'll submit that in to get analyzed and see what the toxicology report comes back at.
Last night I witnessed the Northfield Police. I had a car pulled over on 5th Street east of Division, between Washington and Division. And one squad car, and I drive by, and there's this guy out there, and the cop has a flashlight in his hand. And then another squad car came, and that's another story I want to talk about. Anyhow, he was giving him that test where the guy had his head back. He didn't look drunk to me. I mean, he was just standing there, and he looked normal to me, but I'm driving by. And he was weaving his finger or pencil.
Yeah, the horizontal gaze and nystagmus test.
What's the story on something like that? How does that work?
The peace officers are trained, and we take training in these field sobriety tests.
Yeah.
But the HGN tests, or the horizontal gaze and nystagmus tests, the tests that we tell for impairment through the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to certain focal points when you're following smoothly and transitioning from one point to another. But, you know, there's points of this test when you go at different angles with your finger. It's hard to explain on the radio, but you're following it back and forth horizontally, but you get to a certain point at a certain angle, and the eye starts to bounce. And we're trained when you are paired under alcohol, that eye will bounce, and you'll see that impairment in there. And usually in experience after those field sobriety tests done, that, you know, the deputies that are trained properly know pretty close to where that individual is going to be at for a blood alcohol content just based off that HGN test.
Well, I'm going to ask you if you would do an HGN test on me after this break. Will you do that?
I will. I'll try, Wayne.
Live and in color on the Wayne Indy Affair on KYMN Radio, the county sheriff of LeSueur County is my guest this morning on KYMN, a young man that just recently was reelected as sheriff of LeSueur County that consists of about 10 or 11 towns, cities.
Winter is officially blown into Northfield, and while that may not make everyone happy, it does provide the perfect backdrop for the 20th annual Winter Walk in downtown Northfield. The Chamber of Commerce would like to invite you to head to downtown Northfield this Thursday evening, December 6th, to experience downtown by candlelight. Take in one of our fantastic dining options, shop in one of our many unique shops, take a ride on a horse-drawn wagon, march in the parade, and experience the first ever Winter Walk fireworks starting at 9 p.m. For more information and a full list of the evening's many other events and activities, go to northfieldchamber.com. We will see you at Northfield's favorite night of the holiday season this Thursday evening.
You could drive around the block to see the neighborhood lights again this year, or you can come to the Science Museum of Minnesota and see five stories of lasers, lights, and things that glow at Illumination. Grab a glowing cocktail, make your own glow-in-the-dark slime, and so much more. Illumination is three weekends in December. Don't miss the event of the season. Buy tickets at smm.org. Coming soon, celebrate 20 years of favorite films on the gigantic screen during OmniFest at the Science Museum of Minnesota.
Ladies and gentlemen, live and in color on the Wayne Indy Affair on your radio station, KYMN, 1080 on your AM dial for over 50 years and now 95.1, has the Sheriff of LeSueur County in studio, Brett Mason. And Brett, congratulations again on your reelection last month. And he has a test, and all deputies and police officers are trained in the GLH or...
The HGN, horizontal gaze and nystagmus test.
Okay, and he's going to give that test to me, and because I never understood it. And so go ahead and give me the test. I'll do the talk. Go ahead.
Now, I got to put a disclaimer out. I haven't written too many DWIs in a long time, but my guys are trained. But essentially, you know, you're putting your index finger up in front of the individual's nose, eyes, you know, approximately maybe 6 inches from their eyes.
Oh, six inches.
Yeah, first you're putting it, you know, right in front of their eyesight.
Okay, and we're doing it 6 inches away.
Yep, and what the first thing you start doing is you
do pop, I look at your
you
finger?
You look at right at my finger. Okay. Don't move your head at all.
Okay.
Keep your head still. Just use your eyes.
Okay.
And we're gonna look for a lack of smooth pursuit.
Okay.
And when you follow this. So first we go like this. We bring it all the way back over this way. We come back and stop. And I'm, as the deputy or officer, I'm looking at how you're pursuing my finger. Are you doing it smoothly or are you stopping? And when someone is impaired and the lack of smooth pursuit, they will stop. They won't follow smoothly like you're doing, Wayne.
So I'm
sober. You might be at about a 1-2 right now, but then we do the angle test, and that's where you bring it all the way to the end. And it's hard to explain on radio, but you get to a certain point and a certain degree angle, and the eye will start bouncing. Well, Wayne's eye is not bouncing; he's following very smoothly. But when someone is impaired, that eye will start bouncing, and it'll bounce rapidly.
And
the more it bounces, the more impaired they are. So an experience you may. You know, someone that's, you know, our legal limit is an 08, but someone that's, you know, twice the legal limit, it's going to bounce pretty good.
Okay, so, I mean, and you can't control that.
No, there's no way to control that. That's why those officers that do a lot of traffic, and like I said, I'm not one to be boastful. I don't, you know, I haven't done a lot of traffic stops for a long time, but those officers that do a lot of traffic stops, they know what they're doing, they're experienced, they'll know exactly from that HGN test, almost almost to a couple points of where that individual is going to be if they take a preliminary breath test after that.
Well, I'm glad that we just did this, because I often wondered, you know, like all you use is a finger or some you see on TV, pen or
tip
whatever.
Tip of a pen, yeah.
And I'm going, well, you know, what are they doing there? What about the timing test?
There's a one-legged stand test that they do.
Okay.
And they do count a sequence of counting while they're standing on one leg, and you know that can be tough for people for anybody, but there's a set of criteria that the deputies follow or the officers follow, and then they do a one-legged stand test or a walk and turn test, nine-step walk and turn test as well.
That, yeah.
Yep, along a line of some sort, and there's some other tests that they do. But at the end of the day, I guess the bottom line is that the collaborative effort of those tests regarding a potential driving while impaired, you know, that deputy, that officer better have some probable cause or observations of impairment to go any farther. And if there's not, that person should be given back their ID and let off, you know, not let off, but they need to have probable cause to go through that type of, prior to doing that, what's going to lead them into that is their observations. They're going to have an odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from the car. The driver may have bloodshot or watery eyes. They may be slurring their speech. I mean, these are factors that get documented and transition into maybe some field sobriety tests.
How about count to 30, and I'm going to watch my watch and see how close you can go and imagine 30 seconds has passed.
Yep.
Have you ever done that?
That's on the one-legged stand test.
Oh.
That's what they'll do on that.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep, they'll do that. And you'll see from people that go, deputies or officers that go through it, that a lot of people that are impaired will skip numbers. And sometimes that 13 or 17 gets skipped, or they forget, they pause, and they forget once they get to 21 or 22, they pause first, or their leg will go down. They'll forget where they're at, and they'll start back at 14 or 15. There's a number of different scenarios.
And this whole TV stuff I'm throwing at you, but a lot of it's applicable and explainable. How many people can say the alphabet backwards?
Not very many. We don't do that test in Lee Seward County. Absolutely not. So we do not do that test.
You go ABCDEFGHIJKLMNOPQR S T U V W X Y Z.
No, we don't do any type of
alphabet.
We don't do an alphabetic test. Even going, not even backwards, going forwards, we do not do that test either.
What about a lot of conversation about immigration now? I mean, as a matter of fact, it's almost scary.
Yep.
And we have a lot of farms in southern Minnesota. Is there an order to don't bother anybody that perhaps you might feel is an immigrant helping the farmers?
No, there is no criteria. What we do in Lee Seward County, I'm not going to speak for any other jurisdiction, because Wayne, it is a big issue. It's a big topic. It's a big issue in the jails as well. But when Lee Seward County deputies or investigators are investigating something, they're there because they're investigating something. We're there to investigate crimes that are committed. Our deputies aren't going to places to investigate immigration status. Now, if that comes up, if a crime has been committed, or in the realm of the investigation, it is what it is. But we go in there when we're doing traffic stops. We're not asking for immigration status. When we're investigating domestic assaults, we're not asking for immigration status. We're getting the facts of what crime may or may not have happened, and that's it. In terms of the question you asked of farmers, if we see people or individuals working at a farm, our deputies are not stopping in there. They would have no reason to stop in there, just like they wouldn't have any reason to stop at your house if you had your family out shoveling your driveway, unless you're just stopped to say hello and do some community relations and introduce themselves. But we wouldn't do that. Not in Lee Seward County. We wouldn't stop and ask them what they're doing and who they are and identify them. We'll identify people if they're suspicious behavior. if there's suspicious circumstances going on, if we get a call, if there's a crime that's been committed. That's how we operate in Lee Seward County at this point in time, and that's how we're going to continue to operate.
We have to take one more break before 10 o'clock, and we'll do that right now. But I'll tell you what, I'll ask you the question now, and you can think about it. Another controversy is ICE, and see if that affects Lee Seward County at all.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
Capital Construction is Northfield's premier locally owned exterior construction company. Capital Construction is dedicated to the exterior commercial and residential transformations consisting of roofing, windows, siding, and gutters. It's never too early to start planning for the exterior transformation your house deserves. Everyone at Capital Construction hope you have a safe and happy holiday season filled with joy. Call Capital Construction today for a free consultation at 952-222-4004 or check them out at capitalconstruction-llc.com.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, getting ready for Winter Walk in downtown Northfield this evening after it gets dark. About 5 o'clock, I think, people start really coming into the town. And in the past, and I'm sure it will be now, there'll be a nice fire someplace where you stand around and warm up your hands. And they'll be caroling up and down the streets, and it's going to be a lot of fun. My guest this morning on KYMN Radio's Wayne Eddy Affair is Mr. Brett Mason. He is the re-elected sheriff of Lee Seward County, and before we took that break, I asked him to think about it. There are a lot of people that think ICE should be going away. But by the way, what does ICE stand for? The ICE?
Immigration Customs Enforcement.
Okay, and a lot of people think it's a terrible thing and get rid of it. And a lot of people think, hey, they're protecting our country and doing what's right. A lot of districts like California, San Francisco particularly, will release people after being requested to hold them by ICE. Have you ever had a situation in your county? And if not, are you prepared for it?
Well, I think we're prepared for it right now. I mean, our position at this point in time is in Lee Seward County, and I know, not to get into too much politics, Wayne, but I know it's a controversial issue with our 80s. Now, not all 87 counties have jails, but at this point in time, Lee Seward County is holding individuals that are committing crimes in the state of Minnesota. And potentially, if there's a crime that's been committed or allegedly committed and there's probable cause, we are holding those individuals, and ICE may or may not be involved. Now, we are not holding individuals currently in Lee Seward County Jail that only have immigrated status violations. So if they have not committed a crime in our jurisdiction or somewhere else on a warrant, an actual criminal complaint warrant, we're not holding, bottom line is we're not holding an immigrated status on ICE holds only, solely.
So, and I know you don't want to get into politics, and I'm sure that, did that question come up in your campaign?
That question, very briefly, very okay. Briefly. We haven't had a lot of ICE involvement in our county, and maybe that's the reason why this year it didn't come up that much, but I know it's come up everywhere in the state of Minnesota and throughout the nation as well, and it's a big issue. But at this point in time, our procedure is if there's no crime has been committed or they've been released by our county court, our district court, that they'll be released from our jail. They will not be held on just a basic ICE hold.
Okay, so to clarify it, if ICE says hold this guy, if you don't have Minnesota or Lee Seward County charges, you say, so sad, too bad, we're getting rid of him.
Or if there's not another county that's got a hold on him for a warrant. Yeah. Like, let's say Rice County calls and we're done with him in Le Sueur County, we will obviously hold that person. Okay. But if there's nothing else to hold that person on, criminal-wise, by state statute in the state of Minnesota, we are not holding them at this point in time in Le Sueur County.
How full is your jail on an average?
On an average, well, we look in this a lot because we're building a new justice center, but right now we can be anywhere from that 18 to 22, which makes our jail full. We have a 28-bed facility, but, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were at that capacity. So, and we were farming inmates out because we don't have any space for any type of females. We have no space for some of these, I'm starting to digress a little bit, but mental health in the jails is just another huge topic, Wayne. And unfortunately, the state of Minnesota just does not have a place for a lot of these people to go. And many of these inmates or individuals that are arrested on some of these crimes, yes, they've committed a crime, but they're not jail candidates. They're not candidates for our county jail. We don't have the resources to assist them with their mental health issues. However, they're being placed in these jails because there's nowhere else for these people to go. But we're struggling with that issue as well, and we speak a lot with our surrounding counties and jurisdictions to help each other out when we're full or we need space. So, but it's any, you know, it can be anywhere from 18 to 28 at any given time.
Well, I'm going to take a brief break. Actually, it's going to be approximately 2 minutes and 37 seconds. So you can get on your phone and respond to those people that are emailing you or texting you. I don't have a newscast to go, but I'm going to play my theme song for the second hour. And I want to see if you get this. I started my broadcast career in 1964. I started doing this radio show. I started the station 50 years ago, but I started doing this under Jeff Johnson's ownership at age 64. So you'll see if you can figure out why I use this as my theme song for the second hour. Bum, doodly-doo, doodly-doo. Okay, we had a break there. Did you figure out why I use that as a theme song?
Well, I talked about some age, Wayne, and some gentlemen getting older, but I didn't see, I didn't relate that to you sitting across from me. You don't look like a few years older than I am. Well, I feel like a young buck still.
Yeah, but we have the same haircut.
That's right, we do.
It's 2.5 minutes after 10 o'clock on the 95.1 FM, KYMN Radio, 1080 AM, and in studio, I have a very interesting man, and his name is Brett Mason. He is the sheriff of Le Sueur County, and we chit-chatted about your job quite a bit, and what I want to also do is talk about how you ended up as the sheriff in Race County. And
Sewer County.
Yeah.
We don't want to offend Sheriff Dunn.
Well, something fell off the desk here, and I went and looked at it, and so I went to Rice. And by the way, Troy is a gem when it comes to interview. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
Almost as good as you.
Troy's a heck of a good sheriff, and Rice County should be lucky to have him. He's a good sheriff, as is he has a good staff, too. We're lucky to work with him as a neighboring county.
Now, do you have a local radio station?
We do. We have. We don't have anything in our county. We have a really good relationship with KCHK and Tom Getzinger, which is just north of New Prague. That's in Scott County.
I know where it is.
And then we work in KTOE. We work with KTOE as well in Mankato. But we have nothing per se and actually that sits in our jurisdiction. But we do work with KCHK quite a bit as well as KTOE.
Okay. No, New Prague is not is in your county?
Yep. Oh. Half in our county and half in Scott County.
Okay, that's
so it's split right down the middle of of the highway there.
Like we have a little bit of North Dakota. We have a little bit of Dakota County on the northwest side of our side. I've done a ride along with a very nice gentleman. I think he was like a sergeant, last name Penny. And his brother is Tim Penny, that's a former legislator. So do you do ride-alongs?
We do. We do them. Yeah, absolutely we do.
What I found
out. We don't do a lot of them, but we will do them upon request.
Yeah, based on what the individual needs to know.
Correct, and what we have on staff and who's,
you
know, where we're at with, you know, sergeants that are on and you know, what's been delegated that evening for what the deputies have to do. But, yeah, absolutely, to answer your question, yes, we do them.
I did it with the Dakota County, and what amazed me was the size of the county and what where the criminal people concentrated on in the little hot spots of Dakota County and communities and all that. And I went, I never knew that.
Yeah. Every jurisdiction has those what you called hot spots. If I don't care if you're working for a county sheriff's office or you're working for a municipality, I'm sure Northfield has that same hot spots, or even if you're with the patrol and they each jurisdiction has those kind of areas that maybe they think should be concentrated on or you know, there's been criminal activity, there's suspicious activity that's been going on and there always is those type of spots in every jurisdiction.
How about will the highway patrol come in and do anything within Le Sueur or other communities?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. The state highway patrol, they patrol our state highways, and when they can go anywhere they want. Then when they have crashes or they investigate them when it's on the state highways, and we assist them if they ask for that, and vice versa. If we have something on the county roads where we have a crash that needs to be reconstructed. Or assistance with traffic, we will contact them, and we have a good relationship with our captain, who's Jeremy Geiger, in our Mankato district, and they've been more than happy to assist us, and we're more than happy to assist them as well.
Well, we were talking about motorcycles, and we used to have for about 7 years, we had what we call the Outlaw Run. And it grew from like 50 to 350, I was in your county, and this is when we first started, and I played the role of stopping traffic on one of your,
Highway 13, yeah.
Yeah. And now they have training that you go through to be a captain in a motorcycle rally. And I'm wondering how many motorcycle rallies come through your county, and do you work with them?
We do. We got all sorts of fundraisers and rallies and ATVs, and we try to work with them as best as we can. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, most of these are fundraisers, right?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, boy, you would sure not want to get somebody hurt over a fundraiser. So we try to do our best to work with every organization that contacts me or my command staff or my dispatch, just to make sure that everybody's safe and we're doing things right.
And we'll throw in a name that a lot of listeners know, T.J. Heinrichsi, who I think worked with you and the Historical Society guy. And we got through your town safely, had a couple of stop-and-go lights, or something. You call them semaphores?
Semaphores, signs, what you name it. We call them a dumber than different things.
Yeah, I've used the word, to have a semaphore, and I go, what's that? I guess you say stop-and-go light. Yeah. That everybody understands. Yeah. One of the things that we like to do here on the Wayne Eddy Affair is learn more about the individual, and we just spent the first hour and 8 minutes about your job. Now, is there something you as a sheriff would like to tell this audience that you're concerned about? What concerns you most that you can pass along to us?
Yeah, there's nothing in, there's a lot of things, just little things. And I think one thing is that I've seen, not only for Lee Seward County, but Rice County, because that's where the jurisdiction where we're sitting in right now. But, a lot of people in society now just kind of, they don't want to sometimes get involved if they see something. But, the old saying, if you see something, say something. If you think it's suspicious or it looks suspicious, it probably is. And that's what we're here for. That's why you pay, your taxpayers, as was you and I, Wayne. And I expect my constituents in Lee Seward County to contact my dispatch if they see something, anything at all. Even if it's remotely, they think something doesn't look right. Call, because we're there to investigate it, and it could turn into something, it could be nothing, but at least we identified what was going on, and we'll get back to you and we'll let you know. And maybe you don't want to get, you could be anonymous as well, but if you're seeing some type of activity that just doesn't look right, or you're seeing driving conduct, or you're seeing suspicious circumstances in your neighborhood, or just something that just your intuition just does not feel right, just contact your local law enforcement. And it doesn't need to be your sheriff's office. It can be your Northfield Police Department. Flag down an officer. Call the dispatch and ask that, hey, can you have an officer call me? I'd like to have a conversation with them. And that's what we encourage our people to do. In Lee Seward County, and I would bet in Rice County, Sheriff Dunn would say the same thing. We have a great respect for the people of our county, and our people of our county respect their law enforcement, and we are so fortunate to have that down here. And our deputies enjoy their job, our jailers enjoy their job, our dispatchers enjoy their job, and they enjoy it because for most part, they like what they're doing and people are respectful. Now, are there certain circumstances and certain times that things happen where there's not? Of course there is. But we're very fortunate to be in the jurisdiction that we're in, and we appreciate all the community support, appreciate everything the community has to say positive about local law enforcement, and that includes the police departments as well. So, but bottom line is, if you see anything at all and you feel something's wrong, call, because that's what we're there for. We're there to protect you. We're there to serve you.
How long have you been in law enforcement?
I was hired with Lee Seward County in 2004, and that's the only jurisdiction that I've worked for.
All right. You come from a family of law people, though, don't you?
I do, yeah, on my maternal side, yeah.
And I want to get to that a little bit later on. I got a great story for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I
kind of have an inkling already about what it's about. But
yeah, because I talked to you at the parade. But how many... What 2004? That's what, 14 years ago. Okay, how many? There's so many smartphones, mobile phones. Everybody has one. How much of an increase of reported drunk driving that somebody observes, and they call the sheriff or the police and say, "Hey, man, there's a car going down the one way on Fifth Street, whatever. Did that help a lot?
From 2004, my career, where I started at as a when I initially got hired as part time, I didn't even have a cell phone, work cell phone, but it is increased, Wayne, dramatically in the last 14 years with the cell phones and the smartphones, and you know, being able to incorporate the Bluetooth into your vehicles and et cetera, et cetera. Absolutely. And not so much, you asked about the drunk driving, but yes, there is that going on. There's no doubt about that. However, it's that distracted driving that's become even a bigger issue, because it's occurring at all hours of the day, and it's involving 16-year-olds and it's involving 90-year-olds that have a cell phone and have their phones, because they're texting, they're on the internet, they're on Facebook, they're Snapchatting, they're tweeting, you name it. And you know, I'll go back to Lee Center and I'll go, you know, every vehicle I go by, I would say 80% of them are on their phones, and you can tell, you can see it, and it's a big issue. I mean, we had a couple years back, we had a distracted driving issue where an individual was going to get his mail, and it resulted in a death. And he got struck by a vehicle, and it was a distracting driving issue is what happened. And we can't preach that enough. I mean, boy, someone's life can really be changed just by looking at your phone for 2 seconds and sending a text message. You know, you have no criminal history ever. You've been an upstanding citizen. You contribute to society. And by looking at your phone for a couple seconds could change your life, because if someone gets hurt, you're going to be coming to jail, unfortunately.
And, of course, they can check the phone at what time you used it.
Yeah, absolutely. And coincidentally, Lee Sur County is budgeted next year on a cell phone device that's basically going to be able to extract all that data out of those phones. So those phones will be seized, and you'll be able to see exactly what is being punched on that phone at every second of that day.
Can an officer say, let me look at your cell phone, I want to check it out at the scene?
We don't normally do that. If we have reason to believe, Wayne, that the cell phone was used, we will seize it and we will apply for a search warrant. So we won't look at that cell phone until we get a court order in our hands. But there are times where there's voluntary consent and the individual says, here, you can look at my phone and this is what it is. But if we believe if someone was injured in a crash, in a crim vehicular injury or a homicide, we'll normally try to seize the phone, hold it, get a court order because we have probable cause to do so. And we articulate that in the draft of the search warrant and get it signed by a judge before we start looking into any type of device.
The name Purfirst probably is familiar to you, Clarence.
Purfirst?
Purfirst,
yep.
Right, big farmers,
sure.
In Rice County.
Yep.
And Clarence was a legislator, and he's the one that got the bill passed to have personalized plates, or vanity plates, I suppose they call them, which is a benefit to law enforcement, I would assume, because people can remember that.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is, with the telephone that people have in their car, the Bluetooth, like you said, and they think that somebody is driving drunk, for example, erratically or whatever, and they phone in the license plate number and 1020. Is that 1028? 1028.
Yeah. That's funny because a lot of jurisdictions are going to plain language now, or the number system is out, but we still use that.
Okay. What's a 1080?
1080?
I think we used to be a murder.
Okay.
But anyhow, so they call it in, and you're in the neighborhood, and you pull out, and you're following the car. All right. The license plate is clean. The signaling is proper. The speed is proper. Do you have probable cause because you got the phone call?
In Lee Sur County, we do not pull those people over. It depends on the circumstance, but if it's just driving conduct, our deputies are instructed that they need to get their own articulable suspicion and probable cause. Now, that's not a one-all-be-all type of thing, Wayne, too, because it could be a domestic situation or it could be some other thing that was going on where we'll use that information from the complainant and we'll get a statement from them. And then we'll make an investigatory stop to see what's going on. But if it's straight traffic, our deputies mainly, for the most part, will get behind that person, and they'll try to observe their own driving conduct on their own. If they don't see anything, they're more than likely not pulling that vehicle over. But on that same token, the totality of circumstances have to weigh in. So there are a number of different X factors that come in. So, for example, hypothetically speaking, if it said that a complainant called in and spoke to the dispatch and then talked to a deputy that said, I saw a rolling domestic going on in this vehicle and et cetera, et cetera, and I observed this and I observed that, that may be a different situation, and we may make an investigatory stop to try to figure out what was going on. But for the most part, on traffic offenses, Wayne, we would try to get our own conduct before initiating a traffic stop. In Lee Seward County, I'm not going to speak for behalf of anybody else.
And Clarence told me the story that you did a ride-along with the highway patrol up in the cities on, mm-hmm, like 35.
Sure.
And the cop or trooper, whatever you want to say, said, that guy is drunk. And he did everything right. Now, this is a story I was, mm-hmm, told.
Sure.
And he did everything right, but the officer wanted to stop him, and he had to have probable cause.
Or articulable suspicion is what you need for the stop. You need probable cause for an arrest.
Okay.
But articulable suspicion for a traffic stop.
Okay. Guess how he pulled him over and what the reason was.
I'm sure there's a number.
It was a recent snowfall, and his plate was partially covered, yeah, with snow. As if, while you're driving along, it collects, and you're supposed to get out and wipe,
sure,
it off.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it just showed that senator at that time that they can get a legal stop on suspicion.
Yeah, if you go through the state statute book on traffic, Wayne, I mean, virtually, if you follow someone long enough, there's going to be something that potentially could give you articulable suspicion to stop someone, right? But in Lee Seward County, like I said before, I'm only speaking on behalf of what we do in Lee Seward County. We have common sense in Lee Seward County, and I'm just speaking for my deputies, but our city cops, we have a good relationship with them too, but we're making stops that are justified. I'll leave it at that.
You know what? Aging and maturity, how you can tell you're aging and you're maturing? You look in your rearview mirror, and there's a cop car behind you. And your heart doesn't go to your throat. You just go, oh, there's a cop behind me.
Well, you shouldn't go to your throat if you've done nothing wrong, right?
That's right. Well, yeah. I'm talking about maturing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But, and I know a lot of people can relate to what I'm saying, you know, where you get, oh, boy, what did I do? But how about undercover, we'll get to that, but how about plain cars? Do you have like an SUV that has no marking on it?
Of course, yeah, we do. We have a number of unmarked cars.
Unmarked. Yeah.
But they do have lights strategically placed on the inside if they need them, and a siren and a radio. We do have a couple undercover cars that do not have that as well. So we do use a number of different cars. And, you know, obviously you just can't have one undercover car, because once someone knows it, it's out, then everybody knows what kind of car it is, yeah, right? And we're not in Minneapolis or up in the metro where, you know, there's a ton of traffic going on. Where, you know, we're in a smaller jurisdiction. But like I said, Lee Seward County, and we're unique, you know, right in between 169 and 35. We're right north of Mankato and just south of the metro. You know, our northeast corner in New Prague, Scott County there, you know, we're 20 minutes to Lakeville. And so, but just south of that, we're still a very rural agricultural community, mm-hmm, so it's kind of unique, and it's a very unique county, I feel.
Have you ever had trouble at Kalachi Days?
Well, you had indicated that I come from a long line of law enforcement. The stories that I've heard back in Kalachi Days in the 50s and 60s and 70s, it's nothing like that today. But last year was fantastic. The city of Montgomery had a ton of law enforcement on. We assisted them with the sheriff's office, obviously, and as well as the Lee Seward County Sheriff's Mounted Posse assisted the city of Montgomery. And I don't think this year we had any issues. But usually there's a couple fights, there's a couple skirmishes, there's a couple people that maybe had a little too much to drink, had a little too much fun, and have maybe fell asleep or passed out or whatever you're going to want to call it, on a bench or something like that. But last couple of years, it's been pretty clean, Wayne. I mean, and we have a lot of law enforcement presence, but it's been really good. And it's still a great event, too.
Yes. And it's been around a long time. Yeah. One of the things that I'm proud of, and I've been involved with the Defeated Jesse James Day's celebration on the committee and other various positions, and for 51 celebrations. And one of the things I'm most proud of is that the amount of DUIs and fights, altercations, are very, very limited.
They're down, Wayne.
Some like none.
Yeah, and you know why? And this is just my opinion, because an assault and even a DWI affects your life so much now that the community and the public, and we're getting, you know, with social media and everything, that there's more knowledge and education about everything out. But, you know, even the old bar fights, I mean, you get arrested on a fifth-degree assault and you fight each other, I mean, that's going to affect you, and it's going to affect your job, and it's going to affect your family, it's going to affect everything about it. So I think people have started to become more educated about that and what it can and cannot do, and people are becoming a little bit more responsible, and people are really I don't know if it's all the education or the media and the social media or the advertisements about drinking and driving, but it has played an effect, and I think the numbers have been down.
And you know who that
affects? Especially at those celebrations.
Yeah, and you know who that affects negatively? Because lawyers.
They can fend for themselves, right?
Yeah.
My old man, my father was an attorney, so I can say that.
Yeah, it was. When I say lawyers, of course, that's the first thing I think people nowadays think of. If you get into an argument, and let's say you're in a shouting match, you almost want the guy to punch you so you could sue him.
Yeah, there's a lot of lawsuits out there, Wayne. And so,
but, I mean, that benefits the fact that people don't do it as frequently as they used to because they're afraid they're going to get sued.
Sure.
10:26 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I'm having fun. Hopefully you are, too.
I'm having a lot of fun, Wayne. Thank you. I appreciate appreciate you inviting me today.
I got a couple more questions I want to ask, and first we'll take a brief break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Don't forget, today is the Winter Walk in downtown Northfield. Are you going to get together with anybody for lunch?
I got to scoot back to Lee Stewart County. We got a firearm demo going on, and then I got a briefing right after lunch with my investigative unit, so I got to scoop back.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that, and I'll take a brief break, and stand by, okay? I'm going to find out if you knew any of the top 10 songs of 1999.
Oh, boy.
I'll play the number one song as a bumper music when we come back.
Come into Jenkins Jewelers this Thursday when you're out winter walking. Jenkins Jewelers will be offering 30% off any one item this one night only for Winter Walk. So stop in and let Craig Jenkins and his friendly staff help complete your Christmas list for that special someone with their 30% off one day only sale in downtown Northfield. Some exclusions apply.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
Hi, I'm Pam Fikencher, senior pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Northfield. We invite you to join us for beautiful, song-filled worship every Sunday at 8:30 and 10:45 a.m. We are located at 500 3rd Street West in Northfield. If you can't join us in person, you can listen to our broadcast at 8:30 a.m. every Sunday on KYMN Radio 1080 a.m. or live online at kymnradio.net. Go to stjohnsnorthfield.org to see our full calendar of events. We hope to see you soon.
Do you believe in love and love?
Oh, I know this one, Wayne.
Oh, okay.
Cher.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, she's more in my era.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about this song.
I was worried you were going to play like a hip-hop song, and I wouldn't have known it. Oh, but I'm glad you played Cher.
No, this is the pop list that we have here. And I don't... I'm usually afraid to play 90s and 2000s because it could be vulgar.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But there's a thing called auto-tune, so you can sing and you're on... But... She's the first one to use this style. That.
She's been around a long time.
Oh, yeah. I guess they
got long-standing career.
I think they have a Broadway show now for about Cher. How about that? It is 10:28 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, and my guest this morning is Brett Mason. And Brett, on several occasions, many occasions actually, I interview people, and actually 2 hours isn't enough. And I haven't done the old thing, hey, where were you born, who's mom and dad, who's grandma and grandpa,
sure,
and what school did you go to, and what all of that. And so what I'd like to do is extend this information as the sheriff of Le Sueur County and then invite you back and talk to Brett Mason as a guy that has grown up and married and kids and things like that. So
I'll come back whenever you want to invite me, Wayne. How's that sound?
Well, it sounds wonderful. I appreciate it. But tell me more about when 11 o'clock comes along, you got to scoot back to Le Sueur County because...
Well, we got we have a firearms demo going on right now. We are something new in Le Sueur County that I'm incorporating that has never been done before. But after the first year, the Le Sueur County Sheriff's Office is going to be going to office-issued firearms. We have never done that. We're at the point in time.
You have to explain what all.
Well, office-issued firearms are government-owned firearms. At this point in time in Le Sueur County, each of my peace officer's deputy owns their own firearm, their duty gun, their handgun.
Okay, now let me. I'd like to get off the side. Now, when they do that, and it's their choice and it's their cost, do most of them go with a Glock or do ever go to a revolver?
Yeah. That's a good question because that's part of why we're going. Why we're going to office issued or government issued is because we gave them their choice of what caliber wanted and what they wanted to carry. No one carries revolvers anymore, but the county's responsible for buying the ammo and the county's responsible for our policy and procedure fixing that firearm if it's broken in the line of duty. Well, a lot of those is happening, and a lot of times the fixes are more than a new firearm would even cost. Because these are being used to qualify, and obviously, even though it's their own firearm, they have to qualify per our policy each and every year, a couple different times. Like last night, we had a night qualification, an inclement weather qualification, cold weather shoot. But we're to the point in time now, in the size of our jurisdiction and the amount of peace officers that we have, that I believe it's time to start going just to one solidified caliber, one ammo, one unit. We all carrying the same thing. I think we're at that point in time that we need to do
that. Wouldn't that, in the event of a shooting, and you know, I'm talking about the big St. Paul, Minneapolis shootings and all that, if they all have the same caliber, would it make it more difficult to know which bullet inflicted the wound?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. We are one of the very few, Wayne, in the state that does not, at our size of jurisdiction, that does not have government-issued firearms. So that was kind of the way of the world, even, 5 to 10 years ago. But, you know, at this point in time, most of the jurisdictions are going to, are uniformity. They're going to that same ammo because, you know, it's hard to carry five different ammos. As well as whether it's going to be a Glock or a Smith & Wesson or a Ruger or what have you. But we are getting back to your initial question. We are demoing Glocks today.
Okay, so that's an advantage, and that's good for the county and good for your office.
I think so. Okay. I think it'll be advantageous for not only my staff, but I think it'll be advantageous for years to come as well. It's going to assist with bookkeeping. It's going to assist with the ammo. It's going to assist when we need to replace one. And, you know, per the union, our deputies are all union employees, but they get a uniform allowance as well per their union contract.
Oh, okay.
So instead of having to buy a $500 or $600 handgun, you know, they're not going to have to do that anymore. And I think it's going to benefit the government, the county, as well as the employer.
You know, I like details because I don't know. Mm-hmm. So help me learn. Of course, I know about revolvers because we use them in the raid reenactment. And, you, of course, you don't leave the shell there because they stay in the barrel and cylinder, I should say. And what is the advantage of the Glock? I mean, it sounds, Glock is now the word. Is it lightweight?
Lightweight. It's indestructible. I mean, it's. I carry a Glock. I'm carrying a Glock on me right now. I'm kind of.
Can you stand up and let me
sure.
see it? Or I don't know if you want to pull it. Oh, okay. That's not as big as I thought it would be.
No, and this is a compact version, Wayne. But they're essentially made of plastic. They're very simplified in terms of safety and hammers. There's none of that on there. The safety is actually on the trigger on a Glock. But you know, they are, like I said, plastic. And the Glock Corporation has done a very good job of keeping it mainstream and making sure that they fire under all different types of circumstances.
Were they made?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know where they're made. I'm going to find that out today at this demo.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that exact question.
For some reason, I want to think Germany. Okay. I don't know why I want to think that. There have been peace officers, lawmen, sheriffs, deputies, cops, police, whatever you want to call them, troopers, that have gone through an entire career and never have fired their handgun. And I think they outnumber those that have. So the question is, have you ever had to use your fire your gun?
I have not. Thankfully, I have not. I've never had to fire and take somebody's life or defend mine. I've had to defend mine in certain circumstances going up through the years as a deputy, but no, I have never had to fire my duty weapon.
Draw?
Absolutely. Numerous times. I mean, that's kind of when you're doing search warrants and you're doing all sorts of different things, yeah, you're drawing your firearm because first and foremost, you're not only protecting the community, protecting the public and serving them, but you need to go home to your family at night, right? And that's the main objective as well, as you take care of yourself. So unfortunately in our business, officer involved shootings occur. It's the nature of our business. It is what it is. Thankfully I've never had to do that, but we preach that our deputies in Lee Seward County, and we go through different trainings, but you know, you need to mentally prepare yourself, and that starts from when you want to start becoming a law enforcement officer to your training when you're a young adult through college, and you've got to continue to mentally be prepared for that, because at any given second, you know, I can leave here, Wayne, and get in my squad car and something can happen. Even though I'm in Rice County or in the city of Northfield, I could see something that I need to be prepared for that, and as every other peace officer in the state of Minnesota. If you sign up, you sign the paperwork for being a peace officer, you best be prepared that is a possibility in your career that could happen.
You just remind me that I am so old, I remember when the Northfield Police Department hired people. Just, here, it's your hat, here's your gun, and God bless you, or bring your own.
Yeah.
And, of course, now you have to go through the academy or at least some sort of a post-high
number of
high
different
school.
Qualifications to be hired.
So have you ever had had to give one of your officers a leave of absence because of a traumatic experience?
Since I've been chief deputy and sheriff, no, I have not had to do that. I've been part of an officer-involved shooting in 2009 down in the city of Kasota, so I do have some experience through it, not as an administrator or a supervisor, but I was part of that, and so I do have a little bit of knowledge on when it happens in your county, what is expected and what is not, but we absolutely do know, and we're prepared for it on any given day as well. Not only through our deputies, but our dispatch and our administration as well, because there are a number of different factors that come into play, not only from what potentially what the crime that was committed or what had happened, to the media, to getting the facts out there, to getting the reports prepared to for our county attorney or the attorney general, and getting these assisting agencies that help us out in case of it's conflict of interest. Everybody on the same page, so you make sure you're doing it in a professional manner and make sure it's effective, efficient when you come down to business.
Besides Rice and, I believe, Scott and Dakota, what are the counties that are adjacent to Le Sueur County?
Well, yeah, north is Scott and in Dakota, and then east is Rice. Then we go down to Waseca County, borders us.
Okay.
Blue Earth County borders us.
Wow.
Nicollet County.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Sibley County.
That many?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Then that keeps you busy working with all those.
I tell you what, since I've been in Le Sueur County administration, I can't say enough about the relationships that we have with all those surrounding counties. We all have our cell phone numbers and speed dials and, you know, the email, and we have a really good working relationship, and I'm proud to say that we work pretty well together.
What about, it seems that Scott County has a really nice courthouse and jail and holding or whatever you call it, and Dakota County has a nice one. Rice County is a... The old one was really a dump, and now the new one is a refurbishing of an older building. What about Le Sueur County? Have you have new facilities or outdated facilities? To me, every government agency wants something better.
Yeah. Well, my office is still in the 1912 building as we speak. That's where I do business out of. We did have an addition put on in the early night, started in 80. I think it was completed in 82. But as we talk right now, we are in our third year of completion with a brand new Le Sueur County Justice Center off of State Highway 99, just across from Winco as you come into Lee Center from the east. And we've worked really hard of it. I've been a big part of it. This is, like I said, when we open up the doors next fall, and we're up and running, it'll be a 3.5 to almost 4 year project from start to finish.
Wow.
But it'll be an 80 bed facility, and it'll be a justice center. It won't be just the law enforcement center and the jail. Our courts will be there, court administration, probation, emergency management, victim's witness, Le Sueur County IT, Le Sueur County maintenance. So there'll be about approximately 8 different departments in this building. But you can't miss it coming into Lee Center. Lee Center's our county seat, and you can't miss it either coming in or leaving. So we're pretty excited. My staff is excited. You know, it comes with a price tag as well. We've done the best. We're under budget, and we're it's a good thing right now.
Yeah.
But it's something that's taken a lot of our time because we want to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure we're vetting everything out.
Okay. Now this is interesting. If you're going to have your office there, and you're going to have your jail there, and you're going to have your court there.
Yep.
Did you get involved in the architectural design, for example, to be able to deliver a dangerous prisoner from your cells to the courtroom?
Of course. Yep. Okay. I was intricately involved in that as my jail administrator. Well, I'll even go back a little further. Right now, Wayne, we are taking our inmates in their orange jumpsuits across a parking lot, across a public road, into one of two public doors in our Le Sueur County Courthouse where the public is sitting or standing or on their phones, taking them into a hallway, then going up an elevator trying to get up to court administration. And one of the issues that I even brought up a couple of years ago when we had our public hearings and we were talking.
What do you do when it's 20 below zero and
walk
a lot
them
of
over,
snow?
Put coats on them.
Shoes?
They got shoes, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, they got shoes, and we put coats on them. But, you know, for example, a couple of years ago, I happened to be assisting my jail administrator, and we were walking inmates over into the public door because that's the only route we have to go. And there was a mother with a toddler and a newborn in a car seat, and she was on her phone in the vestibule. And one of the inmates was upset because of something that he saw in the criminal complaint. And they're handcuffed and shackled. But as we opened the door, he kicked that door open, and the door ended up hitting the car seat. Now, there was nobody injured, but never, ever should those inmates ever have any interaction with the public. It's just unacceptable at this day and age in my mind. So talking about that, now going to the new facility, our jail from our pod unit, we're doing a wagon wheel design pod unit.
Okay.
Which will be, there's actually 40 cells, and times by two, so it'll be two inmates in each cell. But it's a wagon wheel design. We'll have a central control. Well, when you go west down our big corridor, it'll come to an elevator, which will be monitored by our custody officers. Those inmates, when they have court, will be escorted to the elevator up. The elevator will then enter in between what we call a holding area, which is a detention area in between two courtrooms. And we'll have holding cells in those courtrooms, and it'll be soundproof. And they'll come up, there'll be a custody officer in there, they'll get positioned in where they're going to be until they're ready for court. Then they'll get escorted 10 feet into the door to the west or to the east, and they'll be right where they need to be for their court appearance.
Did you ever contemplate a window cell that would be monitored by television?
We actually have what we call, for lack of a better term, penalty box for every bail hearing. When they come into the courtroom, it'll all be windows, glass, that they cannot get through, you know, kind of like the plexiglass that's at a hockey arena or something. Yeah. And they'll be able to, but they won't have any contact with anybody else in the courtroom. So they can only go from the cell into that little area.
And then would it be a television?
No, it'll be all glass, see-through.
Okay.
And the inmate will stand there and appear.
And then, is there an audio assistant?
Yep. And okay. Their attorney or the public defender will be able to speak to them. The judge and the court administrator will be in there. Now, bailiff will be in there. Now, obviously, we won't be doing that for jury trials, but these will be for all arraignments.
Yeah. Well, is it just a prisoner in the holding area?
Yep.
And the attorneys are outside?
The attorneys will be outside with the court reporter, the judge,
yeah,
our prosecutors. So it's a public safety issue, right? And our justice, you know, our judge and our county attorney and our public defenders, everybody was on board for this. So.
Well, now, I could say that's demeaning, and I had another word that I wanted to use. Isolation, you know, creates fear. Mm-hmm. So that prisoner behind that, with no opportunity to be humanized because he's held in this independent cell and looking through the plexiglass at people he can't touch or express, that's almost necessary or mean.
I think
or
it's. I wouldn't say it's mean. I think it's necessary for the public safety, and it's make at this day and age. It's not only making the judge on the public safety, the prosecutors comfortable, but like I said, it's just for the bail hearings. When everybody has their day in court, they'll be out in the courtroom in and of itself, unshackled. No handcuffs, not sitting next to their attorney, just like you would in any other court.
Okay.
So this is initially for bail hearings and
arraignment or
arraignments. Yep.
Yeah. When you put them on the elevator, are you going to have them face the back of the elevator and not, you know?
No.
I watch too much TV.
No. They'll go in the elevator, and more than likely, we treat our inmates as they should be treated, and that's, I grew up with that atmosphere, and our custody officers and our deputies, including myself, when I go back there, we have conversations, and yeah, they're in jail, they've been charged with a crime, but we treat everybody in there with respect. So I mean, we have a conversation just like you and I are having if the inmate mm-hmm. wants.
Okay, now we're going to take a break and come back and continue, all right?
You got it.
My guest this morning is LeSueur County Sheriff, and his name is Brett Mason, and he won the election. He was challenged. By the way, I didn't ask you that. When we come back, I want to know who your challenger was.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back.
The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce would like to wish everyone in Northfield and the surrounding area a wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. We are proud of all the local businesses in the Northfield area and would like to wish them ongoing success in the upcoming year. From the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce, Merry Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas here at the KYMN studios. We're bringing a little joy to the world with prizes for our listeners. Santa Claus is coming to town with local area gift certificates for flowers and clothing, auto care and sports, and a whole lot more. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer has Northfield area chamber bucks for every winner. Even the Grinch has stocked KYMN with treats for your pets and you. Listen to the KYMN Morning Show, 6 to 9 every weekday, now through December 21st, for your chance to win. When you hear Santa say, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, be the third caller and win. Listen to 95 The One, AM 1080, and streaming at kymnradio.net. Then call 507-645-5695. For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
How does Enrique Iglesias sound? No?
Ricky's right.
Ricky Martin. Martin. Okay.
Yes. Can you name the tune? Or did you? Number 10 in all of 1999.
That's probably why I don't know it, so it's number 10.
It's Living
the Vida Loca.
Yes.
That's it.
You're good, buddy.
Yeah, you just give me a little tip.
I got to ask you.
That's a long time ago.
I got to ask if you, let me try something here. Can you name this tune?
Of course, everybody my generation knows Britney Spears.
Okay, you got that right. Okay, I'm going to play somebody. I never heard of the performer, okay, like this one right here. I don't know this.
Yeah, this is, not Uncle Cracker, but it's something like, give me a...
Uncle Cracker.
It's
I thought it was a boxer.
I can't remember.
Sugar Ray and Every Morning.
Okay.
I saw Sugar Ray there and I thought, I didn't know he sang.
Sugar Ray, yep.
Okay, I don't know where we left off. I asked you to comment on something when we took this break. You're younger than me. Let's see if you can.
Oh, election campaign. Yeah,
oh,
you
yeah.
asked me who had ran filed
yeah,
against me.
That's right. And when we first started our conversation, folks, by the way, Brett Mason is my guest. He is the sheriff of LeSueur County. I was mentioning when I worked in Wisconsin, they had an election. The sheriff came in and would wipe out all of the personnel. And he actually, the reason I know that, he hired a roommate of mine. Who was the last thing from a cop.
Sure.
But he did his career. So who ran against
you? I had a deputy from Scott County run against me.
Oh, Scott
yeah,
County.
Yeah, he's a deputy in Scott County, but he resides in LeSueur County,
okay.
Which allows them to run for office. But, yeah, he was, and we had a fair campaign, and it turned out all right.
And you don't have to respond if you don't want to, but when you learned that this guy, I don't know his name, but when you learned that the Scott County deputy signed up to run against you, what do you think? Like, what did I ever do to him? Or what
no,
am I doing wrong?
No, I'm confident of not to have. I mean, we live in a democracy, right? And everybody has a reason why they want to run for office, and I find that just fine. Absolutely, it's each and everyone's prerogative of what they want to do, and I have no problem with that. And I think if you get to that point where you're upset, and it's really going to affect your campaign, and you just got to keep running your campaign as how you'd run it, and clean and professional, and respond to your issues as you see fit, and with as much professionalism as you can do, and let's see how the chips fall, and if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Did you win by a large margin or
I think it was about 83%.
All right. Well, that poor guy spent all that money on signs, and
well,
he didn't have a chance.
Part of a campaign, and yeah. It's part of our, like I said, our democracy, and
that's just almost as good as Sheriff Dunn. I mean,
I'm sure he got 99.9.
Yeah.
A couple write-ins in there, I suppose.
And they spelled my name wrong, too. at 8 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, and enjoying a great conversation with Sheriff Brett. And Sheriff, do you ever watch Cops and PD Live?
I do not. I don't even watch a lot of TV besides the news, which I try to stay up on my current events as much as I can. And, you know, I'm a sports fan, so I watch some, obviously, the Purple and the Vikings and the Wild and when the Twins are on. But I don't watch a ton of TV. But as far as the cop shows, no, I do not, Wayne. I got to be truthful on that.
Well, you know, the cop show is kind of repetitive. And the biggest thing is domestic. Is that the same in your county, domestic violence or calls?
Yeah, it's definitely right up there. It's right up there, especially from before Thanksgiving until after the New Year. It's the holidays always, they always act up, and it seems like we have a lot more instant crime reports and a lot more call-ins than during the holiday season.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And
a lot of emotions, and families are getting together, and there's just a lot of different things going on at this season.
I had an experience one time. My sister doesn't listen to me. She's a year older. She lives up in Maplewood. And she married a guy that was a threat. And she had two children, infants, babies under five. And she left him. And then he came over to argue about it. And my friend and I went over there. It was upstairs in a dump over in St. Paul someplace. And the guy was scary. I mean, I knew he could kick my butt easily. And my buddy wasn't a fighter either. And he probably could have handled us both. And as a man and a brother, you want to do something about it. Well, somebody called the cops. And when they came up the stairs and walked in the door, he looked at them and he was going to put up a fight. This is my apartment, blah, 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 blah. And they just calmly walked over and all of a sudden he was under their control. And I went, What just happened here? It was so, I mean, here's this guy ready to fight, and he's got a big mouth, and all of a sudden he's in handcuffs.
Yep. And that's how it should be. We like to resolve issues just like that, with nobody getting hurt, and then we can collect the facts. But there are tumultuous emotions. There's just a ton of stuff going on with those, so you have to be on your game. And you got to be on your game at all the times when you're on your shift. But absolutely, those domestic situations can be very emotional and can be unpredictable.
All right, one last break before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Brett Mason, and Bress, we're going to be back in just about 45 seconds.
The Rare Pair would like to invite you to Northfield's annual Winter Walk this Thursday. The lighted parade will start at 4:45 and will glitter and glow its way down Division Street, leading to the community holiday tree lighting ceremony at 5 p.m. on Bridge Square, sponsored by The Rare Pair, followed by shopping, horse-drawn wagon rides, and concluding at 9 p.m. with the fireworks in Ames Park. Stop into The Rare Pair for a holiday treat and free gift wrapping this Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. Take a winter walk in downtown Northfield.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
I like the opening.
I have no idea right off the bat, Wayne. Got to be another Britney Spears.
No, it's
Christina Aguilera,
yes,
or something. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you. Can you name that tune?
I cannot name this tune.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Genie
in a Bottle.
Yes. Now, listen to this. Do you have young people with huge speakers in the trunk of their car, having this
the bass
just
booming. You see it from time to time. Not so much in our county, but you go up to the metro and you see it a lot more.
Yeah, but you don't. Do you ever pull somebody over and say, "Wait a minute, man, that's too loud"?
There is some times. I can't remember the time where I've pulled too many people over with loud music, but I think there are some restrictions regarding
that. Some communities are in a valley, and they'll have a sign saying no backfire or whatever
sure.
it is. Do you ever pull over bikers or people who have these loud
buffers? Yeah, we don't have any ordinances in Le Sueur County. I know the city of Heidelberg had enforced one when they had a bar that was in their city that in enforcement, they passed an ordinance for loud mufflers, loud vehicles. And so I know our deputies had used that ordinance a few times, but the county as a whole doesn't really have an ordinance like that.
Am I right thinking baseball when you say Heidelberg?
Heidelberg?
Yeah.
You're thinking of maybe north there. They don't have a baseball team. Heidelberg doesn't.
Okay. There's one on... Oh, maybe it's on 19.
Yeah.
Anyhow, here's the deal, folks. I invited... the sheriff of Le Sueur County, Brett Mason, to be my guest when I met him at a parade in Le Sueur County. I was with the Rice County Sheriff's Department. He was the sheriff in his uniform looking great and horses and all that. And I had a story that I wanted to share with you. And I could tell that I've had a wonderful time with this all about your job. Okay.
Sure.
I'd like you to come back and talk about you and your siblings and your parents and grandparents and your wife and your in-laws and all that. And, folks, I kind of hinted to him or almost told him the whole story, but we were busy and I want to be more clear. But I had the opportunity, and I'm trying to – I ended up – you're the grandson, in-law or actual bloodline grandson?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, and I think I know your mother, and I think I know your sister, and I think I know, well, I can't say it. How can that be?
Uncles and aunts.
Yeah, Smith is the name that I'm familiar with.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
I'm a Smith. My mother was the oldest daughter of Pat Smith Jr.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that because it's going to be fun. And I want to know about your high school days,
et cetera. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to come in whenever you want. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, when you have the time, I've got the microphones, all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you again, Sheriff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, Wayne, and I'd be more than happy to come back whenever you invite me.
Okay, that's a deal. This is The One, 95.1 FM from Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on the AM dial for over 50 years. Don't forget Winter Walk tonight. Be here at 5 o'clock.
Locally owned, independently programmed, 95.1 The One.
Boy. your joint pain, and I'll be